This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
We continue today with the previous chapter, chapter number 355, which tackles تحريم بيع الحاضر للبادي وتلقي الركبان والبيع على بيع أخيه والخطبة على خطبته إلا أن يأذن أو يرد. The prohibition of malpractices in commerce and in marriage proposings. Today's hadith is a very comprehensive hadith. Let's agree that it's a very sound hadith, highly profound, collected by Imam Bukhari and Muslim and others. And the narrator is the wonderful, beautiful companion Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, hadith number 1778. This hadith is one of the greatest means of blocking the means. Of blocking the means to hatred, to hard feeling, to envy, to jealousy, to wishing evil for others and evil competition, everything. As you know that in Islam, and the Muslim Jews considered سد الذرائع, سد الذرائع, the blocking of the means which lead to what is forbidden is one of the means of legislation. And we spoke about blocking the means repeatedly before. When I give the example, when I said the Almighty Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. The ayah of Surah Al-Isra, in which Allah the Almighty says in chapter number 17, don't you go near zina, stay away from it. When Allah the Almighty said in Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter number 5, O who you believe, إنما الخمر والميسير والأنصاب والأزلام ورجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوا, avoid it. Leave distance between you and wine and drinking and serving, and you know, do not approach it, do not come near it. When Allah the Almighty said to Adam alayhi salam and Hawa to live in Jannah, in heaven, and eat of its fruits and trees as much as you want, كلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما, yet ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكون من الظالمين. Just one thing, stay away from this tree. Allah meant do not eat from the fruits of this tree. But in order to be secure and not to fall in the sin of eating from the fruits of the tree, he said just stay away from it. Don't even sit in its shade. Keep distance. That's called al-hima. So this hadith that we're about to study right now is about blocking the means, and you'll figure it out once you know the hadith and once you hear the English meaning. But as usual, since we've become seekers of knowledge and we deal with Riyadu al-Salihin from an academic perspective, let's go ahead and read the Arabic text and enjoy the beautiful, fascinating words of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most eloquent person ever walked the earth. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يبيع حاضر لباد ولا تناجشوا ولا يبيع الرجل على بيع أخيه ولا يخطب على خطبة أخيه ولا تسأل المرأة طلاق أختها لتكفأ ما في إنائها. وفي رواية قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن التلقي وأن يبتاع المهاجر للأعرابي وأن تشترط المرأة طلاق أختها وأن يستام الرجل على سوم أخيه ونهى عن النجش والتصرية. متفق عليه. Before I share with you the English meaning of this hadith, I'd like to assure you, even Arab like ordinary people who are not specialized in the religious studies, when you pass on this hadith to them and ask them what is the meaning that حاضر لباد النجش السوم تكفأ ما في إنائها and التصريح. I said, never heard of that before. I don't know what you're talking about. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because even if you are an Arab, native Arabic, born and raised in Mecca, in Cairo, Egypt, in Damascus, in Asham, or in Beirut, in Lebanon, anywhere in the Muslim world, not because you're an Arab, you automatically understand these words. You would have to seek knowledge to comprehend them. Okay? So all of us are alike in this regard. And now let's learn the English meaning of the two different narrations by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Then inshallah we'll explain them and we'll know the hukm of each. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade that a man in the city should be the commission agent of a man from the desert. Oh, Sheikh, you've explained that last episode. I know. But this is a segment of today's hadith. And he prohibited the practice of an-najash. An-najash. And we'll explain what najash is, inshallah, shortly. And he also, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, forbade offering a marriage proposal or engagement when somebody else has proposed and his proposal is either pending or have been accepted, or he should make a proposal of marriage while that his brother's proposal is pending, or that a woman should try that a sister of hers should be divorced so that she might take her place. There is another narration in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade the people from meeting the caravan on the way for entering into business transaction with them and the selling of goods by the dweller of the city on behalf of a man from the desert, and the seeking by a woman the divorce of her sister so that she will marry her husband, and a practice of an-najash, and leaving the animals unmilked for some time in order to look huge and fat with big udders at the time of selling them in order to convince the buyer to pay a higher price or to purchase them. طيب. Let me ask a question in order to explain the introduction which I gave earlier. If I proposed to marry a girl and the family said, MashaAllah, what an honor, you belong to a very good family and inshaAllah and so on. Then somebody else, knowingly, he knows that Muhammad Salah proposed to marry a girl, but he was in love with this girl as well. So he went, the family are happy with me and they said, khayran, inshaAllah. So he also goes and he proposes to the same girl. I want to ask you, what would be my feeling when I know that somebody, even though I proposed and the family is happy with me or they give me a word, he said, so what? They're not married yet. And he goes and he proposes to the same girl. Would I say, no problemo, we're family, we're brothers, even if he marries her, I'm okay with it? No one would act like that. Because when I chose this girl, when I proposed to her, it is because I've prayed istikhara and I asked and I inquired and I saw her and I liked her. Khalas, I made up my mind. And when they said, yeah, it's an honor and we're happy with you, that means they're happy with me as well. So the engagement is mere commitment to get married. Mere commitment to get married. And we all know that it is not a marriage, nor is it a marriage contract even. But it's a promise to get married. During this promise, it is not permissible for anyone to offer another proposal, unless if he knows that, well, Muhammad changed his mind. And I told the family, Wallahi qaddar Allahu ma sha'a fa'al. We differed. I wanted to take her to the States. She says, no, I'm going to stay in Lahore. Yani, I'm just giving an example. So we differed. Okay, we broke up. It was mere engagement. We never even shook hands. Alhamdulillah.
So the other guy wants to propose, mashallah, may Allah bless you and your family. Or after the family accepted my proposal, they figure that, oh my God, he's already married. He has 2 old kids. Oh no, would love to have you, but you know, unfortunately, there is one problem, that because you're already married. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. So they turned down my proposal. Anyone else wants to propose, please. But not while the proposal is accepted and pending, and we are in a state of engagement. It becomes haram, 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 forbidden. Because if you do, and you're coming in driving Mercedes, and you're able to turn the engine on from your remote control and show off, some people say, but this guy is well off. This guy carries a British passport, and he's going to take our daughter with him to the UK. And so they will say to poor Sheikh Muhammad, you know, Qaddar Allah, brother. But you give me a word. Yeah, but somebody else proposed, and he is in a much better financial situation than yours. This is absolutely haram. So, out of the box question, what if they rejected me and they accepted the proposal of the second person? He has done something haram. So what he has done is haram and it's a major sin. No questions asked. What if they go on and they get married? Will their marriage contract be valid? Will they be lawful to live together as a husband and wife or not? Yes, it will be valid. That's a marriage. If it fulfills its conditions, pillars, and requisites, she's happy, ijab and qabul, consent of the guardian, the witnesses, khalas, that's a marriage. But, you know, I did propose and they turned me down, khalas, they're blameworthy, he's blameworthy, they've committed a sin. But if she marries somebody else, it's a halal marriage, it's lawful. Because our engagement was simply a mere promise to get married. That's why we say to all our daughters, our sisters, our viewers, please, when you're married, you don't go out with your fiancé. You don't say, let's have some coffee at Coffee Beans or Starbucks or, you know, and he touches your hand and he holds your hand and you go together, you watch a movie or you go shopping in the mall. You're just engaged. An engagement means nothing more than promise to get married. And that's why if the girl is not interested, she will cancel it and call it off, and she's not blameworthy. She doesn't have to seek anybody's advice, nor she has to speak to the fiancé, nor she needs his consent. This is not divorce. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ, no problem. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. The second, or actually the first, أن يبيع حاضر لباد, but that we covered in a couple of hadith in the previous episode. Somebody from town, the Bedouins, the villagers, the farmers are bringing their food and they normally sell it in the flea market or in a farm market once a week, once a month, or whenever they have the harvest. So professional persons would meet them and say, you don't have to worry about dealing with that. Let me take the whole thing. And I will buy it from you, and I'm giving you that much price. Well, the business of selling and buying with an agreement, the guy says, give me 300, here is 300, no, make them 250. All of that is permissible. But you've harmed the community, the common folk, the people in the town. They were waiting for this guy because he sells his goods, number one, fresh and cheap. So for them, it's a win-win situation, and for the farmers, likewise. But when you intercepted their caravan or the car saying, I'll buy everything, whether you pay them right away or you act as a commissioner and say, look, if you're going to sell them in the market, you're going to sell them at a very cheap price. Let me sell it on your behalf, and I will guarantee you I'll get you a higher price. This is the work of a commissioner, commission agent. That too is haram. Why? Since several decades back, when I was studying the 40 Nawawi Hadith, and I read the Sharh of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, and I read a few lines, I almost jumped off my seat out of joy and delight. I said, how beautiful is this religion? Very proud to be Muslim. The Hadith was, He was explaining, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. And he gave examples. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. He means none of you will become a true believer, a perfect mu'min. Not unless he loves for others, for his brothers, for his sisters, whatever he loves for himself, as much as he loves for himself. So he gave the example of a merchant, warehouse is full of commodities, merchandise, and then somehow the prices go down. So he's affected. On one hand, he has lost financially, but on the other hand, he's very happy. I said to myself, what will make him happy? He's happy because reducing the prices is good for the entire Muslim community. So yes, the person will be affected is only one person. He will encounter some loss. But look how many people will be delighted and will benefit because the prices went down. So he is happy for the Muslim community because they will benefit out of the reduction of the prices. I said to myself, I'm very proud to be Muslim. And wallahi, this advice benefited me so much. When I have some foreign currency and the local currency, the inflation rate is getting bigger and bigger and higher, and the foreign currency is getting higher. It's not actually getting higher. The local currency is losing ground. It saddens me. But I only have foreign currency. It saddens me because those millions of people will be affected. And when they say, MashaAllah, the local currency has increased its value against the US dollar, I'm happy. Because the people now can afford it. The people will be able to purchase even imported items at a lower rate. This is Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ said, when he forbid أن يبيع حاضر لباد for this reason, and he forbid ولا تنجش النجش, which is to offer a higher price in front of a buyer in order to allure him to buy. يعني, I went to buy a bike for my son, and when I was standing, the guy said, it is the last piece, Sheikh, and for you it's only 3,000. Oh, mashallah. So I'm negotiating with him, can you make it a little lower, you know, I only have 2,500. And another guy shows up and says, hey, I want that bike. He says, unfortunately it's only one, and this man is buying it. How much are you selling it for? He says, 3,000. I'll give you 3,200. So he jacked the prices. He added 200, and the seller is actually selling it for 3,000. So he says, I'll give you 3,500. Well, that was not an auction, yo. That was not an auction. You know, somebody is buying an item. So he offers a higher price, either because he genuinely wants this bike or this merchandise for himself, and he wants to take it even though somebody else is finalizing the deal. This is haram, forbidden. This transaction is haram. And it is haram for the seller to sell it even for a higher price. And it is haram for the second person who is doing a najash is to do so. So what am I supposed to do? Wait and sit tight. If I decide to take the bike, خلاص قدر الله ما شاء فعل. May Allah bless me and bless you and find another bike somewhere else. When I say, oh no, unfortunately I cannot afford it, thank you, and I'm turning away. So the guy says, I'll take it. This is halal. I'm in the middle of transaction. And you offer a higher price. As a matter of fact, now, people do this, even online, in order to allure the buyers to hurry and purchase the item, even though its value is much lower, because the human nature is like that. When they say, actually, there is a great shortage in cars, in imported cars. And in the car lot, there is only one vehicle remaining. Even if I'm not interested, many people would say, you know, let me buy it. Maybe I can resell it for a higher price, since there is shortage. So if somebody is already making the deal and buying it, you should not intervene. Salespeople and merchants, sometimes they hire guys in order to do this najash. So you say, no, I will take it for 3,200, as I said earlier. Is he buying it? No, he's not buying it. So what is happening here? He is working for the seller, for the merchant, in order to allure poor people lacking experience like me to buy it. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now, whether you're an Arab or non-Arab, whether from Somali, from the States, from Russia or China, you already know what is najash, and you know it is haram. Some people think, Sheikh, this is business, and everyone is free as long as my cash is ready. And look, I didn't force the seller to sell me something against his will. I just offered, and he said yes. Haram, haram, haram. You know what it means, is haram? Even if the system does not recognize this haram, okay, and you still go for it and you purchase this item, wallahi, I can assure you, you'll be a loser. This car, maybe you'll have a car accident and it will be towed. Oh, well, don't worry about it, I have a full coverage. What about if you lose a limb, or your son, or your daughter, or your wife? Don't you play games with Allah. Respect Allah. Loving Allah, brothers and sisters, doesn't mean to say, I love Allah, I love Rasulullah, and every mawlid, we distribute a lot of halwa. The true love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, study hadith like this. Naha anin najash. Khalas. Step back. It's over. Abdullah ibn Umar al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. In one incident, when he was having his own son having an issue with his wife, His son was very jealous. Bilal said, you know, I'm not going to let my wife go to the masjid. And she wants to go to the masjid. There is ta'lim, there is salah, there is namaz. He said, no. So his father said, but I heard the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, la tamna'u ima' Allah al-masajid. Don't you prevent women from going to the masjid? He said, by Allah, I will prevent her. It was like the day of resurrection. Abdullah ibn Umar started beating his son and said, wallahi, I will never talk to you. And he boycotted him because he said, how dare I tell you Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and you say, I will still do the opposite? Who are you? You know, this is from Abdullah ibn Umar, true love. From people who say we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they care less. They do not even worry about violating any of his commandments or prohibitions. Then they never loved the Prophet ﷺ. They're fakers. Subhanallah. وَلَا يَخْطُبْ عَلَىٰ خِطْبَةِ أَخِيهِ. And not to propose to marry a woman while there is another proposal from his brother which is pending. وَلَا تَسْأَلُ الْمَرْأَةُ طَلَاقَ أُخْتِيَهَا لِتَكْفَأَ مَا فِي إِنَائِهَا. Where can we find the most eloquent person on earth to phrase it the eloquent? Subhanallah. Number one, let me give you the general meaning in slang. Somebody is already married and he loved his secretary or co-worker, so he's interested in marrying her. She's much younger than his wife. She is very pretty, and she wears those revealing clothes, so he's going crazy. This is typical, you know. So he says, I want to marry you in halal. She says, you know, but, you know, I live in a very... He said, don't worry about it. I will buy you a flat by the River Nile, by the ocean. Okay, what about the ride? The latest car is yours. I can afford it. I only have one problem, honey. What is it? You know, because I don't like to have a co-wife. And I don't mind marrying you, even though you're way older than me, even though you have kids, but if you become solely for myself. Well, what does it mean? She wants you to divorce your wife. So you live in a society where taking another wife is halal, and it is legal as well, and now she's taking advantage. So, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم forbid أن تسأل المرأة طلاق أختها. Look at the word. Look how the Prophet ﷺ phrased it. أختها, her sister. This woman whom you want this man to divorce her is your sister. Would you like to be in a similar situation? And if you insist, wallahi, you'll be in a similar situation. What goes around comes around. طلاق أختها. So the wording that the Prophet ﷺ chose is to remind the audience, she's your sister. Fear Allah. Then, لِتَكْفَأَ مَا فِي إِنَائِهَا. It's like the wife is having an ina, a vessel. So the husband gives her the monthly allowance. He buys her the clothes. Especially if she's a house engineer, she's not working. She's staying at home to manage his house, to raise the kids. MashaAllah, jazakillahu khairan, may Allah bless you. But the other woman keeps wearing those revealing clothes, wearing the makeup to drive him crazy. So she is asking him to divorce her, like to turn upside down her plate or dish, which she receives the provision in, so that she will take the whole thing. This is haram as well. Likewise, the word, أن تشترط المرأة طلاق أختها. And in the second narration, النجش is explained or referred to as أن يستام الرجل على سوم أخيه. And finally, التصريح, the last word in the hadith. What is التصريح? If you attend a sheep, or if you're a shepherd, you know, I like to go to the farms where I can drink camel milk, goat milk, they milk it fresh. So when the other is still on milk, it's huge. What if they don't milk it? Milk will stay there. So next day, there will be a larger dose. And the other will get bigger and bigger. You think, what is this? So people are selling their animals, a camel or a goat or a sheep. They will stop milking this animal for several days, so the other will look so huge. And the buyer will go crazy and will be allured. Oh, I want this one. Okay. Then when they milk it, what happened to the milk afterward? Well, that was a harvest of several days, actually. Normally, it doesn't have that much milk. But the guy, the seller, the shipper told me, this is only for today. That's haram. That's called what? Tasriya. Ghish. Deceiving is haram. In selling, in buying, in ruling, in advising. من غشة فليس منها.